grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. As we quieten to hear the word of God, we quieten with that prayer of faith that God, our dear Heavenly Father, would open his holy word. I thought to read, as an introduction to my sermon, a very familiar portion of the Bible from the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, from verse 10 to verse 17. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text was from Paul's letter to the Romans. I am thinking, I think that for all of you, or at least you older listeners, are familiar with the background of this letter to the Romans and also its contents. Luther said about this letter to the Romans in this way. That it is the most clear gospel in the New Testament and gives instruction. And it would be good for us to read it every day. Even so, that we would learn it by heart, word for word. I am thinking that also in this time, it is good to stop to consider these basic facts, basic tenets of faith. This summer, at the summer services and at other services, and also on the summer service radio, we have heard many times a description of this time in which we live. One clear view is that in this time people are rejecting the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God. We can say in this way, in this sense, we are living a time of giving up. And man himself thinks that I myself will build or agree with a God that feels suitable to me and feels good to me, and I myself will decide what is right and wrong. Forgetting completely what the Word of God teaches us. In this time also there is a secularism in which we can see this renunciation of the teachings of the Word of God. But in this time also, there is a new age teaching, a new spirituality. The background is in the Eastern religions. And we can say that its contents are far from the Christian faith and the teachings of the Bible. And this is not a new thing. But Paul says already in the letter to the Romans, or in the letter to the Colossians, where there had been similar thoughts and beliefs, Paul reminds the believers in Colossia in this way: since you have taken the Lord for your own, live in unity with Him, be rooted in Him, build your life based on Him, and be strengthened in faith according to how you have been taught. And he continues, beware that no one can entice you astray with empty and deceiving words that are based on people's or human thoughts and the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. This was so already 2,000 years ago. And this is the kind of times we are living even today. It is also important to stop to consider the basic fundamentals of faith, because this congregation of God is a battling congregation, and it is good to remember how God sanctifies or makes someone righteous, makes a sinner righteous. And I thought that I would examine this question in the light of the Bible, and also, what is faith? And how the message of the kingdom of God travels forward in this time. And today, dear brothers and sisters, as children of God, we can be listening to this holy word of God throughout all time, when people have been asked, and man has asked, how can I be saved? How can I reach eternal life? How can I achieve peace in my own heart? The answer has been, I have to do something. so that I can receive eternal life. In the Gospel according to Matthew, we are told in chapter 19 about a youngster who asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good must I do to receive eternal life?" What good thing must I do to get eternal life? And this young man said that he knows the law of Moses and has followed the law since his youth or his childhood. And Jesus says, if you want to be complete, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. So Jesus told this young man to give up everything on which you have based your life, all of your spiritual and your temporal riches, and come and follow me. But that young man did not want to do this. According to the Bible, as a consequence of the fall into sin, we carry the inheritance of this sin in us. And Paul says in the letter to the Romans that what is man's own possibility to reach eternal life? For it is written, there is not one who is righteous, not one who understands, no one who searches for God. They have all given up and become unacceptable. There is not one who does good, not one. It is said in the Bible that if man could fulfill God's demanding law, he would receive eternal life. But just as this teaching of Paul says, and elsewhere in the Bible we are told, that not one man is able to fulfill God's demanding law. Not one person. It means that not only formal fulfillment of the law, but also in thoughts and words and intents of the heart, they should all be a requirement of this fulfillment of the law. On the other hand, because of this sinfulness, we sin every single day in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. So such a way in which man himself builds his own righteousness and gains eternal life, according to the Bible, it is absolutely impossible. There is only one way, only one possibility, and that is that which God has prepared in His only Son. and in the book of the Romans, chapter 3, in verse 22 to 25. Paul speaks about this righteousness in this way. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. And in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes these familiar words, which we often hear at services. By grace you are saved, by faith, not through yourselves. It is the work of God. This is the way. This is the life. This is eternal life. That which God prepared in his own begotten Son. It is the righteousness of faith. It is righteousness which is acceptable to God. When our text said, faith of the heart brings, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. This is often pictured in this way. That this faith is like our arm. And with this arm, the arm of faith, we can take hold of this salvation prepared by God and this righteousness prepared by God. Even this faith is a gift of God. And everyone who is born into this world is born as a partaker of this gift of faith and also of this saving work of Christ. And as we have learned, that a child has a childlike faith, which childlike faith may be lost if this child does not wish to travel in life according to the will of God. In the letter to the Hebrews, it is said that without faith, no one is according to the mind of God. Without faith, it is impossible to be acceptable to God. So, by faith, we take hold of this salvation prepared by God and this righteousness prepared by God. At these services, we have already heard a very important matter and a view about this gift of faith and its characteristics, or what faith means. This matter which we need to learn again and again every day. When the Bible speaks of the childlike faith, and related to this is at the end of Matthew 11, the teachings of Jesus, when he said, Matthew says of Jesus, how Jesus began to speak and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. When the disciples argued amongst themselves about which of us is the greatest, Jesus kept a lecture for these disciples. It was not a long lesson. He took a small child into the midst of these arguing disciples and said, whosoever does not become like this little child will not be able to enter into God's kingdom. We older people can try to learn this again and again, that a small child is an example of faith for us. This small child trusts in his parents, mother and father, and is completely dependent on the care of his mother and father. And this is also true in the kingdom of God. The child of God is in the care of the Sarah mother and the congregation of God, the mother. So, dear brothers and sisters, we should always ask the Heavenly Father for understanding, strength, and humbleness, so that we could always carry this childlike faith and a mind of a child in our own heart. Many times the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. We have so little faith. Jesus says to his own disciples that if you had faith the amount, the size of a mustard seed, then you could move mountains. Faith is strengthened when we listen to the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God, and we have experienced how many times when we come to services, we feel that we have little faith, and we may even think that, am I even believing anymore? But the Word of God strengthens and refreshes and lifts and carries. In life, there may be, and there are times and situations when we lose a dear one or a serious illness, financial worries, and many other things sorrows of life, which are bringing strength from us and strength for our endeavor. And especially in those situations, we can experience how the support of the believers, those who are traveling with us, and quietening around the Word of God, believing the gospel, have given us strength to continue our journey. When our text speaks of faith of the heart, it means it is personal faith. Parents cannot believe in behalf of their children, or the children in behalf of their parents. Nor can we believe in behalf of our friends, even though we would want to. It is a personal thing. But even though it is personal, it is also a communal. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, that there is one Lord, one God, one Spirit, one faith, and so on. The Word of God, a faith which is according to the Word of God. There is only one such faith, one God, one Spirit, which works in God's congregation, in God's kingdom. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Faith is followed by life as a believer, a child of God. The first thing is that we wish to confess our faith. Jesus says in a certain situation that he who confesses me before people, him will I acknowledge before God in heaven. Peter reminds us in his letter, be always ready to answer if you are asked for the foundation of your hope, to answer with quietness and fear, or meekness. And we know that in everyday life, in the midst of this world, it is not always easy to confess that we are a child of God and to confess our own faith. We have surely all experienced this. And for this also, we can ask the Heavenly Father for strength, that we would have strength to confess our faith. And if God gives an opportunity, that in the midst of our unbelieving friends, we could remind them that in the end, what is most important in a person's life and most precious Paul's letters, each of his letters, Paul teaches and reminds us that what does faith affect And how is it visible in the life of a believer? Because time wears on, we won't start looking at them. But our Redeemer also speaks of the same matter when he says, with such an example of the good vine, a good tree carries good fruit, and a bad tree carries poor fruit. The life of a believer is not only that we act as believers only in some situations, but it is our whole life. Faith is followed by life as a child of God. It means that we want to endeavor and live here in the midst of this world as children of God. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says briefly, keep faith and a good conscience, which some have given up and have become shipwrecked in faith. Toward the end of our text, it speaks of how this message of the kingdom of God, this most important and best message of in the world, is brought forward in this world. It is said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In the Gospel according to Mark, we are told how Jesus gave his disciples a task. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But who does not believe will be damned. And the Gospel of John are the familiar words. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, peace be unto you. Like my Father has sent me, I will send you. Upon saying this, he blew upon them and said, take the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. The child of God has been sent to bring this message of the gospel forward. Dear brothers and sisters, this message has traveled in this world from the times of the apostles. Thousands of years and hundreds of years into our time. We do not know exactly, nor do we need to know, what path that message has traveled in the midst of God's kingdom unto this day. But we are sure of this, that that message, which is in the kingdom of God at this moment, is the same message which Christ gave to his own disciples. Go and preach the gospel, and repent, and forgiveness of sins throughout the world, starting in Jerusalem unto the ends of the world. And as we have heard at the summer services today, we can be amazed at how this message has traveled to different parts of the world. And I am thinking, there was a short article in the Bavamius paper about that sister in India who received the grace of repentance. And that this message has been received there also. She said in this way, in those services, forgiveness of sins, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins was preached to sinners because of the atonement work of Christ. This message touched me. She was able to believe that Jesus has suffered and shed his blood also because of her sins. And in that moment, the gospel that was preached belonged to her also. At the same moment, a peace fell into the heart, true peace fell into the heart of this person. She no longer needed to search. She was assured that by believing in this way, she will one day reach heaven. This assurance was given to her by the Holy Spirit, which she got into her heart by believing the gospel. Also, her family has received the grace of repentance. And when she was asked what greetings does she wish to send to Finland, to the believers and to others, she said in this way, she gave these greetings. She exhorted them to nourish that peace which Jesus has given into the believing heart. She continued, this true peace is taken care of by hearing and believing the gospel of forgiveness of sins again and again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. This message of the kingdom of God, this message of the gospel, has been brought forward by the children of God from heart to heart and from faith to faith, according to the teachings and the words of the Bible. Faith comes from hearing the message. Faith is also strengthened by hearing the word. As we already recalled, for us, dear brothers and sisters, it is extremely important that we always come to services, Bible class, or Sunday school, where God strengthens us, encourages us to continue on this way of life. The Bible warns us we would not give this up, would not reject it. We would not reject this congregation of God and its gathering, or giving or being listening to the Word of God. Many times I have said how when the Bible speaks about the coming times, how it emphasizes how important it is for us to live that we live in this kingdom of God, in the love of the kingdom of God, near our Redeemer, near each other, near the children of God who carry us, lift us if our journey becomes slow. And I would wish to end this sermon with these words of forgiveness. Dear travel friend, dear brother and sister, you can believe all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. You can believe everything, all sins and doubts forgiven, and sorrows of life, in the name of our Redeemer and precious atonement blood. I would like to say yet, when our text speaks of the righteousness of faith, about the salvation prepared by God, which is on the everlasting foundation of God's Word, and this gift of faith, that by believing in this way, according to the teachings of the Bible, and in the footsteps of those, the holy, the saints who came before us, we will reach eternal life in heaven. Can I also remain believing my own sins and doubts forgiven? Dear brothers and sisters, it is my heart's desire to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.